It's good to have you back. Hope that you are doing great. Hope that this week was a good week for you. With all that's going on in our world, all the things that we see on the news, I just want to encourage you again to keep reaching out to one another, as Steve said. Sing Christmas songs, as he mentioned. And in that time, well, maybe not. Okay, so just try to reconnect with people and encourage one another. But last couple weeks, I want to talk to you about the main thing. The main thing of what all Christians are to be about. The main thing of what a disciple really looks like. The main thing of what a life in Christ is all about. I described it as a gospel identity, and then last week wanted to kind of explain to you that it was more like a gospel-saturated life. And again, what that means is your identity and your actions are all about what God says you are. Your worth and your value come from Him. That it's not about your degrees, it's not about how much money or your career, it's not about your parents or your grandparents saying, okay, you've met my approval. You are defined by who God says you are. And that allows you to be free, allows you to be the person God intended you to be. And I just want to encourage you and remind you of that. So all of this comes from that. And then I talk to you about how we have some heart issues, that we all need a heart renewal, that each one of us need to lean in on what the Lord is doing and say, Lord, would you renew me? Would you help me to want what you want? Sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes we don't maybe want to. And that's where we just need to say, Lord, you know what I need. Would you help me? And so I want to encourage you again, as we talked about last week, to stay connected, to get connected with the Lord. We talked about praying. We talked about how important it was in reaching out to the Lord. And when you pray, know that you're not, again, notifying God of what's happening. You're inviting Him. You're inviting Him to be about your circumstances. And you're having a conversation. You're not just giving Him a list. You're not just going through, check, 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 check. Okay, done. Have a good night, you know. No, you're having a conversation, and you're just being still. Sometimes you won't hear anything, but you'll have a peace. Other times, you'll feel like God's just really putting a burden on your heart. Maybe it's to call someone. Maybe it's to pray for someone. Whatever it is, just simply obey it. Trust Him. And then I talked to you about how important it was to get into God's Word and to read it. You know, we've been encouraging you to use your devices. If you want to stay connected with other people, to maybe open up and do in the Bible app a Bible study. I'm going to invite some people this week, and if you get invited and it's not a good plan for you or you're not able to do it, it's okay. We're good. But if you feel led, we'd love for you to join us in on that. But know this, that it's not just you pray once and you're done, right? Or you read the Bible only when maybe services are happening. It's something God wants a part of our lives every day. And so again, we just want to encourage you in that. Also, I want to talk to you this week about what a marked life looks like. What would it look like for people to identify that we are marked by this good news of God, that our worth and our value, our identity, our actions are defined by what God says again, and it shows in our life that there should be a difference in us. That if we were to be lined up and people were to ask us some questions, they should say, okay, this person answered differently. Why is that? Not because we're perfect or we have it together, right? None of us do. I mean, let's get real. Except for Dr. Betty Hill. I mean, we know that she's on it. But all of the rest of us, you know, we still have to work on some things. And this marked life is important. This marked life isn't something that we have to prove or show. It's something God cultivates and grows. Last month, we went through a whole series on what does it mean to bear fruit in the Lord and how God, you know, cultivates and prunes and cuts back, in other words, and helps us bear even more fruit. And I don't think it's something that we do on our own. I really think it's God's invitations to us to embrace what He has for us. It's leaning on His promises. It's not because we don't have questions or struggles or doubts. It's not because we know all the answers. It's because we know the One who holds all the answers. And if He promises this, then we say, okay, well, we listen. I mean, if someone is able to rise from the dead, we give them the benefit of the doubt. We say, okay, then obviously we need to trust you in this, and we need to believe this. And it doesn't always make sense. We don't always see where God's leading us. In fact, many times we just see the next step. And he says, listen, just take the next step. Trust me and take the next step. What I find is that there are many times in my life where I'm walking, trying to follow where the Lord's leading, and I sometimes like get a glimpse, like maybe like around a corner. Think about a bend, and you start to see like the rest of the road kind of thing. That, I think, will scare most of us when we see where God's taking us. Not because he's not faithful or he's not good enough. It's because we start going, man, I don't know if I can do that. But these promises and invitations God has for us, I just want to encourage you in it. Believe them. Trust them. Lean on the Lord with it. And ask him to help you with it. When you're struggling, ask him to help you. Today, I want to look at how God actually helps us have this marked life. It's from a section of Scripture, and it's called the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5. So if you have your Bible app, you can open it. If you have your Bibles open, it's in the New Testament, part 2, as I like to say. And it's one of those letters written by Paul. If you ever want to try to remember where it is when it comes to some of his letters, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, GE, Power, and Company. So it's a little mnemonic device to kind of help people. Ain't going to help you know what's going on inside, but at least help you know where it's at. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And again, it talks to get, it's going to help us to get paint a picture of what a life in Christ looks like. Very similar to what we talked about a month ago in a different text in John 15. But I hope you'll really pay attention. I know there's some colors here. Just go with it. There's some reason for this, okay? It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, that's another, like patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, of these, understand, I kind of gathered them into four groupings. Love, goodness, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience again, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All of these, coming from Scripture, obviously, a pastor of ours, another pastor in ECO, of actually the head of our denomination, but I served with him on staff for a number of years and just think the world of him. He came out with a book about a year or 2 years ago called Simple Discipleship, and how when we understand who we are in Christ and live it out, we can truly start to live and enjoy what God's doing in us and through us. And so he kind of grouped these up in four groupings. So I'm going to share what those groupings are today with each other, with us. And I just want you to kind of pay attention, okay? Which is one of these nine am I really kind of struggling with? Which of these groups do I really go, Lord, is that an area that I'm really, man, I am just, man, maybe, you know, maybe people know you for your kindness and your gentleness. Maybe, I mean, you're there. There's fruit in your life about that. Maybe you're incredibly faithful and you show self-control. Beautiful. Praise the Lord. That's great. That's wonderful. But maybe you struggle in really loving someone or being good, generous. Maybe you struggle with being a person of joy or peace or forbearance. I mean, where are you in this list that you struggle with? Not to make you feel bad. That's not, I think, one of the reasons God gives us his truth and his word. No, he gives us this so that we can say, Lord, I obviously need your work there. I need you to a deeper work. I need you to dig, to cultivate, to prune back, to cut back so that I can bear this fruit. And I love how he wraps this up because, again, he's talking about, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit working in us and then through us is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Against things, there's nothing. There's no reason this is wrong. And so I just want to turn to you and help you to unpack what this means, because these four areas are important. Sacrificial living, love, goodness, maybe even you want to say generosity, is when a person exhibits the sacrificial nature of Jesus towards others. Sacrificial nature, that this love that we have, known as the love of God, described as agape love, when agape love is experienced, it's the self-sacrificing of our Lord working in us and through us. And for many of us, let's get real, it's not easy, and it doesn't always come natural. Part of that is because there's just some deep work God's got to do in us. Part of that's because of our brokenness and how we need just a rescue and save a Savior in Jesus. And so this sacrificial living, sometimes God calls us this very clearly. Maybe it's to serve on a mission trip. Maybe it's to serve in a ministry or to maybe serve in our community. We put together, you know, lunches and stuff like that on the weekends for those at Manatee Academy. When we do that, that's not because it's convenient for the people that are doing it. They're sacrificing their time, their energy, and sometimes even their resources, as many of you even contribute to do that, so that those children will know a tangible expression of God's love. Those are just a few examples of what agape love is about. That it's yes, it's being generous and good, but this love is not just I feel all nice and warm and fuzzy inside. No, this love is a love that's willing to lay down one's life. We see this sacrificial love best in Jesus when he's on the cross. This love is an invitation to know the love of God. And when we know God in that way, it becomes more of like train on top of a track, that it knows it's where it's supposed to go. It's now about just doing it. And so when we know and experience the love of God, we can then be the people of God. And then others can experience that love through us. We can share that love. This text reminds me, especially in the beginning of this, the first quality of the fruit of the Spirit, of another text in the Scripture known as Matthew 22, 36 to 40, known as the Great Commandment. Jesus is being asked by a Pharisee, an expert in the law. He's trying to trick him. He just put down the Sadducees, and the Pharisees are like, whoa, we want to make sure he doesn't, get too full of himself. So they try to kind of put him in a corner and test him. When they're saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? They're asking of the 613 commands that they have made from Scripture. There were 10 commandments, that God gave his people. And in these 10 commandments, they then took them and made 613 ways of how to keep them or how not to break them. Now, all of it from a good, they're trying to help people be more faithful in their following the Lord. But then there became a lot of debate, as you know people can do. So we have this teacher trying to mess with Jesus and say, okay, let's kind of lock him in, put him in a corner kind of thing and say, okay, which one's the greatest? Which one is he going to say is more important than the other? He does something that they still pray every day. He quotes a scripture known as Deuteronomy chapter 6, known as the Shema. And he says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he did something they weren't expecting. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. That these two, you can't love God and love others and break any of the other 613 commands. You can't do it. It's not possible. There's no way you could ever embezzle money and still love God and love others. There's no way you can cheat on your spouse and love God and love others. You can't do it. And so it's one of those where he helps everyone go way above, which is how Jesus usually rolls. We kind of struggle with, well, which was this or this? Which one? And he's like, it's neither. It's somewhere above that. And so he's trying to help us know what it's like to live in step with the Holy Spirit and live in step with what God wants to do in us and through us. And it's going to be the sacrificial living. Another quality or another area is gracious living. And again, these take up kindness and gentleness. This kindness that exhibits showing care and humility and compassion when interacting with others. Let me say that again. You show fruit by caring and showing humility and compassion when dealing with others. That people know you and your gentleness. They know you and your kindness. This humbleness that we're called to have, to live and walk humbly with our God is something that doesn't typically come natural. And it depends on our personality, a lot of it I found, and it also depends on kind of our experiences. Shouldn't it surprise us, right, how much experience plays a part in who we are? But maybe you had a great, wise teacher or coach, maybe a parent or a grandparent, someone that invested in you and displayed what humility was. You probably are able to handle that and live it out easier. But maybe you had a demanding parent, or you had someone who just absolutely made you feel so inferior unless you puffed up your chest and you undermined and took out everything else and everyone else. That's so counter to the scripture. When we come into a room, it's not, I have arrived, folks. I mean, that should never happen. It should be, you know, what's going on? Who's here? It shouldn't be just about us and what we're doing. And I just want to encourage you to ask a question in this. What is your posture? Are you, it's all about you, or is it not have to be about you? Are you leaning in and showing mercy and forgiveness to others, or are you all about your rights and your privileges? Because that humility, that kindness won't show up if it's all about your rights and your privileges. When you get angry, do people know you that you get angry for things that anger the heart of God, or do you get angry for things that, like, someone cut you off and you're going to now, you know, kind of come behind them, honk your horn, maybe come beside them, you know, and be a little more aggressive towards it? How are you showing the kindness? How are you showing that humility? Are you able to try to forgive and show mercy, not because they deserve it, not because they asked for it, but because that's what God showed us, and we're called to show that to others? And so this is a hard lesson, but I hope and pray that that you'll hear me. I hope you'll hear that this is a message for every believer, every follower of the Lord. Now, if you're not a follower and you kind of got tuned in, or maybe you're sitting there and your family member is watching this and you're kind of like, I don't know about that one. What's he talking about? Understand, this comes from God's work in us. We're not that good. We need God's Spirit to work in us and transform us from the inside out. Again, that heart renewal. A third category is satisfied living. That we should be, no matter where we're at, we should be not anxious, not living a life that's all about, again, trying to take the next hill, or that whatever circumstance, we can find our peace, we can find our joy, we can even demonstrate patience, that no matter what we're facing, we're okay. Not that we celebrate when we get the flat tires, but that we go, okay, Lord, give me the strength to handle this one. Or okay, Lord, we're going to need some help on this one. We need you to provide a tow truck or provide someone to help us with this. Or we don't have a spare, whatever may be the situation. It's not about, again, trying harder, but knowing, again, who holds it all together. And knowing that if he let this happen, he's going to see us through it. So, maybe there's some major challenges you and your family are facing. Maybe financially because of the COVID-19. Maybe health. Whatever they are, God's with you. Some of us, I have found in connecting with others, many people feel so alone. They feel so alone. Like, man, and that's one of the reasons that people, like, can we just get back and get together? We want to reopen. Let me just be crystal clear. We want to reopen, and we are going to reopen. We're going to do it, though, using, again, the best of what we know when it comes to practices and procedures. But when we get the all clear, when they say we think it's really okay, that it's not about fear, but it's about what's the best, wisest choice for all those who are going to be present. And so I just want you to know that we're trying to be satisfied in the midst of this COVID-19. What would it look like for you in your life to be able to let go and just say, Lord, help me to find my joy in you. Not in my circumstances, not my happiness and everything being perfect, but joy. Joy can't be, it doesn't go up or down when it comes to circumstances. No, it's held together in God. So how are you to deal with this, to help you get better at that? When challenges abound, how are you looking to the one who sustains? How are you looking to him in a way that helps you learn to trust and be satisfied in any situation? It starts again with you and I remembering who we are in him, our identity, and trusting him to give us the strength for the actions. Now, all of us are going to be at different places for all of these different categories. Maybe again, for me, that word forbearance, another word again, patience. For me, that word is probably one of the greatest challenges of my life. And it's something I remember when I was in high school. I was growing in leaps and bounds. I really was in my faith and in life. And it was one of those where I was talking to one of the small group leaders in our youth group. And I was like, man, my life has just been, it just feels like turned upside down. And he did something interesting. He did something that most of adults, we're not, I don't know, maybe you guys are better at this than I am, but I typically don't naturally think of the best question to help maybe someone process immediately. It's something I've had to work on. But he says, so what have you been praying for? What have you been praying about? And I remember going like, how does that connect to where my life is? And so I was, I've been praying for this, I'm praying for this. And I mentioned I've been praying for patience. And he starts to chuckle. I remember going like, I know funny. That wasn't that funny. And he's like, no, you don't understand. He's like, you've been praying for patience, and so God has allowed circumstances to happen for you to grow and develop your patience. And then I went, oh, I get the funny now. And so it's one of those where we have to pay attention. If we've asked God to do a deep work in us, guess what? He's going to do it. And some of our life is going to get turned upside down. Don't be afraid in that. Lean into it. Trust that he's good. And that's where, again, we have to understand that we have to go into that next category to help us in this fruit of devoted living. Devoted living shows, again, this faithfulness and self-control. Self-control is something that is just, it's just difficult to have, especially in the States. Now, if you grew up with little, you're fine. You can handle most things. If you grew up with little and when you grew up with little, you had regret and frustration and you blamed people, then you might think that whoever has the most toys wins. The reality is, whoever has the most toys, guess what? All of it goes back in the box when you're done. You don't take it with you. But you do take the person you become. You do take the person you've been. You take the character of who you are. And I'm telling you, it's so connected to this devoted living. This idea of faithfulness and self-control that work together. How are we faithful to our commitments? How are we faithful to our commitments to God, to others, and to ourselves? How are we honoring our word? And all of us have different areas, that, again, of these nine that we're going to struggle with. Where are you in this? This is definitely a more advanced move. As you grow in maturity, in love, in joy, in peace, in patience, okay, so on, in the fruit of the Spirit, this idea of self-control, this idea of being faithful to where God leads you, I call them obedience checks. Sometimes God will put it on your heart. You'll be reading something in Scripture, and you'll go, oh, I need to start doing that. And it's like, God's like, yep, you picked up the little clue. The next thing is, okay, and it's like kind of these, we just kind of follow the steps. But as maybe that day or that week, God will give us the opportunity to obey in what he showed us. And those obedience checks are crucial in us developing this fruit of, again, self-control and faithfulness. Maybe God's calling you into to a deeper walk with him when it comes to prayer. And so he's challenging you to spend more time with him, to listen to him, to depend on him. Don't fight it. Just let it be and obey it. Maybe you set your watch or you set your phone or you know, first thing you do when you get up in the morning is, Lord, I give you today. Help me to trust you. Help me to lean on you. Help me to, maybe you quote this. Help me to demonstrate love, joy, peace. I'm warning you about the patience. Just let you know. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. How are you exhibiting those nine? And again, it's not about you being the best at it, perfect at it. It's about how our Lord is faithful. And he's the one who lives and works through us. And so when we have a deficiency, when we don't, when we miss the mark, another phrase for sin, when we rebel or when we miss what God's trying to do in our lives, that's when we go back to the Lord, but I know you're faithful, and would you please restore me? Would you help me with this? And trust that he's good. Trust him that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Trust him and believe that you and I are who he says we are. Not because we've accomplished X, Y, and Z. Not because we've checked all the boxes. Not because we've been all good people or that we've made sure that we were at every Christian event or that we only listen to Christian music or that we... No, it's about taking our everyday, ordinary lives, placing before him and saying, Lord, not my will, your will. Help me to be the person you've called me to be. These four areas are crucial. He knows what you are facing. He knows your struggle. Lean in, trust in him. Don't be afraid. But when you are afraid, reach out to him and let his peace, let his presence, his promise of that beautiful presence meet you where you're at and carry you where he's taken you. So, remember, we give some homework here, and I hope you're not overwhelmed by this, or you're like, man, I was done with school. What the heck? homework is crucial. How can we take what we're talking about and apply it, not just to today, but tomorrow and so on? I want you to review which one God wants to grow. Which of these four areas or categories, sacrificial living, gracious living, satisfied living, or devoted living, which of those four areas are you really thinking you might need to really start to do a deeper work? And maybe, Lord, I'm just not the most gracious person. I'm just not filled with kindness and gentleness. Maybe you're not the most devoted. Maybe you struggle with that idea of faithfulness and self-control. What would that look like in your life when God's working in it and helping you become more the way you've always meant to be? What would it look like to everyone around you? How can he use that to help others know of his love? Not by you having all the answers, but by you exhibiting this new heart, this transformed life. Let us pray during this time to just ask God to do that work. Lord, you know those areas. You know where we're struggling with love, where we're struggling with goodness. Kindness and gentleness. Maybe we're really struggling with peace in the midst of this COVID-19. Help us to know how we can experience your joy in spite of what our circumstances are. Help us to believe and know, even in spite of that, Lord. Give us the patience. And I pray that timidly, but yet I trust in your goodness and your faithfulness, and help us in our faithfulness and self-control. Help us to again, that we would be moldable and shapeable, that you would bear fruit from your Spirit working in us, that we may be the people of you, your Son, that when people meet us, they see your Son. We reflect your light and your love to others. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In your name, amen. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen.